Welcome to this segment of Vocal Point. I'm Jerry Newcomb, and right now we're going to talk with John Rabe, one of my favorite collaborators. John, it's great to talk to you again.
Well, it's good to talk to you, Jerry, and I look forward to hearing what a collaborator is.
Me too. Okay, so here we go. 2015.
I'm sorry.
No, no, it's all right. 2015 is winding down, and we're about to enter 2016. And so I thought it'd be good to kind of do a quick year in review and talk about some of the trends and some of the trends to look for in 2016. So let's... Obviously, Islam is a huge part of the story, but I want to kind of save that for last because it's going to be a big part of 2016, I'm sure. So let's start by asking you about 2015 in terms of some of the violence we saw here in America. For example, that terrible church shooting or, you know, other violence beyond Islamic violence.
Well, and it has been a difficult year in that regard, and it seems like as years go by, we do almost become numb to these shootings, and of course, immediately everyone wants to make it an issue about guns and the Second Amendment and so forth. And there's perhaps a discussion for some to have there. That's the political side of the discussion, but you and I know that the thing that we need to look even more at is what is causing this to happen, and we have a hardening in our culture, and I think we see it across the board. And by the way, I'm aware of the fact that every generation comes along and thinks, oh boy, times are worse now than they've ever been. And I don't want to do that. You can go back to the first century and see, you know, when Nero was setting Christians on fire. Oof. There have been some very bad times in world history. And so this may not be the worst of times, but it would be hard to deny that we're witnessing a hardening and a coarsening of our culture and a disengagement, a disaffection that causes people to lose touch with other people. When you look at some of the incidents that you're referring to, and of course you mentioned Islamic terrorism is another issue, and we'll talk about that in a little while, but when we talk about these other attacks and the like, so often what ends up happening is you're dealing with someone who is mentally ill or who somehow had slipped through the cracks. And what is going on there? I think it points to a society in which we have become more and more isolated, where we live more and more in our own internal reality. You look at a culture where, you know, even when I was a kid, we all at least watched the same television programs and listened to the same radio stations. You had five TV channels. You had whatever radio stations you have in town. Now, you watch cable television. There are hundreds of channels. With an iPod, nobody ever has to listen to anyone else's music. Everything is tailored to me, me, me. There's just less and less common ground. There's less interaction, and it leads us to these things. It's not primarily a gun problem. It's primarily a sin problem. But the brakes that are often put on those sins by society, by people who are keeping an eye out for each other, just largely seem to be missing now. And so just a few days ago in Las Vegas, we have the case of this woman who intentionally drives her car into a group of bystanders in Las Vegas. Well, you know, obviously we're not going to talk about banning cars, and nobody's going to talk about
banning sidewalks.
Somehow that there needs to be a regulations on cars and sidewalks to prevent this sort of thing. There already are. There are laws, needless to say, against driving into pedestrians. This woman didn't care about the law. Instead, we have to look at how does it get to that point, and where are the support systems? Where are the people who can love someone like this and who can get help for someone like this? That's the real breakdown that we're seeing. It's a breakdown of isolation, in my opinion.
Yeah, and I think the breakdown of the family has contributed to a lot of this.
Absolutely.
Let's look at another issue, speaking of the breakdown of the family, not to equate those two in any way, but same-sex marriage, of course, saw a big plus in its favor in terms of the Supreme Court decision, and that has definitely negatively impacted religious liberty.
Absolutely. And I think, Jerry, in terms of long-term impact, that will be the biggest thing that happened in America in 2015. The thing that will affect the fabric of our nation more, the thing that will affect more the kind of people we are, the relationship between us and our government, the ability to practice our faith freely as Christians, I think will be more affected by this ruling than by any other single thing that happened in 2015.
You know, they've already set their sights on Christian colleges. Oh, like, you know, like the Christian colleges can't have biblical standards of what's right and wrong? Hello?
Yeah, and let's be realistic. The agenda all along has not been that that homosexual people were dying to have monogamous marital relationships. That's not what this was ever about. And frankly, by the movement's own admission, if you listen to some more of the honest exponents of the homosexual agenda, they're quite clear about it. The agenda here was not the right to marriage. The agenda here is acceptance. And by forcing everyone to treat these relationships as the same as a heterosexual marriage, which is what marriage has been through all of human history, by forcing that to change, you're essentially forcing compliance and forcing acceptance of this as a legitimate lifestyle. And that's really what this has ultimately all been about. And we see it so quickly that in the name of tolerance, in order to be tolerant, we will declare these to be equally marriages under the law, even though by definition they're not a marriage. A union between one man and one woman is what a marriage is and has always historically been. But even by decreeing, okay, that we'll recognize these same-sex relationships as marriage, what's really happened is we've, through the force of law, it has been decreed that these relationships will be treated the same, and they will be treated the same under the law. And so if you dissent, you will have to pay a price. And we're finding that across the nation already. And yeah. Jerry, this is just in the first year of this.
Yeah.
That we're finding that bakeries and photographers and so forth, people regard in the wedding industry are being shut down.
Yeah.
They're being fined. They're being chased down by government because they opt out in their Christian conscience to say, we don't want to celebrate this. We don't want to participate in this ceremony. And the government is essentially saying, you have to participate in this ceremony. It's the same government that told us a couple of years ago with Supreme Court approval that you must buy a product. You must buy a consumer product.
Obamacare.
That is medical insurance.
Yeah.
And it never happened before. And so the heavy hand of government is growing ever stronger, and we're going to see it more and more. As you mentioned, the colleges, that's the next ground, but it's not going to be the final ground. It's going to go ultimately, their goal is to silence opposition to silence anyone who wants to say that homosexuality is equally valid, if not better, than heterosexual relationships.
All right, now you mentioned government, and government is a huge story in 2015. For example, the election, everybody expected Jeb Bush to be doing much better, but he's in a Trump slump, to put it nicely. There's a huge disappointment with the Republican establishment in terms of, you know, they ran in 2014, you know, we're going to vote for us and we're going to help stop Obama's, moves and so forth. And instead, the Republicans turned around and gave them everything they wanted to, whether it was John Boehner or Paul Ryan now. And so this is a huge story. And I think Trump fits into this story because the dissatisfaction with the establishment is what has caused the rise of Trump, of Ted Cruz and Ben Carson.
Yeah, absolutely. If I can get secular for a moment and quote from the rock band The Who, their famous song "Won't Get Fooled Again." One of the lines is there, and there is, "Here's the new boss, same as the old boss." And that's really the feeling, I think, that it's not only Republicans, it's across the board, but you see it happening.
Bernie Sanders on the other side, yeah.
Exactly. You see it coming to the fore more with the Republicans because you also have an anti-incumbent tide, I think, which you would expect at about this time, and with as poorly as this government has performed over the last number of years. So you would expect a sort of natural anti-incumbency, but then on top of that, you really do have a rebellion because what you see happening is when the people speak loudly and almost in one voice, their government, their representatives in their own party essentially ignore them. We mentioned the healthcare law a couple of minutes ago. That was a perfect example of it, and that's still fueling a lot of this, by the way. That surveys showed that as many as in the upper 70 percentile of people in America opposed the Obamacare law, and basically at this time of year, right before Christmas, right around Christmas time, a few years back, they essentially voted it through, and they voted it through with enough, you know, with enough support from the other side that it was able to get through. And those who ran on the idea of repealing it and got support because of it have not followed through on their word. And so what you're finding, and then you add to it the Islam issue, where, again, you seem to have a government that's just in complete denial of the reality of what's happening around it because of political correctness. Well, that does open the way for somebody like Trump, who I think is very problematic from a Christian standpoint. I think Christians who support Trump really need to stop and consider everything that goes into that. But I think that the appeal of Trump is that he breaks through that political correctness. People are so tired of this stage management, so tired of
that's a good way of
playing
it.
The game, yeah. And they feel like here's a guy who won't play the game.
Well, we have 3 to 4 minutes left. Let's focus strictly on Islam. And here I'm talking to John Rabe, the author of None Dare Call It Islam, available at djameskennedy.org. Islam is obviously a huge issue in 2015 and will continue to be in 2016.
It is. And Jerry, when I wrote the book and it came out earlier this year, I couldn't have even imagined how prophetic it would prove to be, because everything that we talk about, and the thesis of the book is that the president and the media seem to have a vested interest in denying the obvious fact that Islamic radicalism is behind most of the terrorism that we find in the world right now. And so they simply will not name the enemy. And we've seen it happen in spades. All of the things that were happening before have continued on. We saw it with the attacks in Paris, and then we saw it with the attacks in San Bernardino, where the typical media narrative takes hold, especially in the San Bernardino attack. It became apparent within minutes in Paris that this was the act of Islamic jihadists. Although the president, again, went on television in the minutes after the attacks and essentially ignored the actual problem once again and went on the defensive defending Islam, which is something he would not do if it were Christians that were accused of the same thing.
That's
but
true.
In the San Bernardino attack, you really saw it. We saw this nonsense that the media went through and that the government went through in the hours and even days after the attack, where it quickly became apparent that this was a jihadi attack, and yet we have these stories, oh, it was somebody who got bent out of shape at a holiday party and returned with weapons. And
it was Christmas' fault. It was Jesus' fault for being born, you know.
What's that?
It was Jesus' fault for being born, you know, Christmas time.
Right. It was a Christmas time thing. And then they were not in touch with, they were lone wolves. Well, all of that has turned out to be true. Once again, it's a concerted act of Islamic terrorism, and yet the President of the United States and many members of this government will not simply call it what it is, and instead use these attacks, amazingly enough, as opportunities to criticize Christianity. Oh, you have your own problems, and defend Islam. If you have a president and you have a government that doesn't recognize what the problem is, then they're not going to be able to effectively counter the problem. And that's what we see now. And the American people across the board, Republican and Democrat, are beginning to become fed up with that.
You know, what's interesting, too, is sometimes they'll say, well, the big problem is ISIS, or as President Obama puts it, ISIL. Okay, suppose ISIS or ISIL were to be completely removed from the whole world. Would that solve the Islamic problem?
No, it certainly wouldn't. ISIS arose, really came to prominence just within the last 2 or 3 years. And we know that Islamic terrorism did not just arise in the last 2 or 3 years. The reality is the president always wants to say, well, Christians have their problems too. And he points back to the Crusades and things that happened hundreds of years ago. You can find a kook here or there who claims Christianity, who does something. But as I point out in the book, even if you took all of the abortion clinic attacks that have happened in the United States over the past 30 years, if you were to take all of them, and we as Christians repudiate all of them, they're evil.
Yes.
We absolutely denounce attacks like that, even if done in the name of Christ. That's not in keeping with Christianity, and we denounce it. But even if you take all of those attacks that they always want to pin on Christianity, honestly, it's one slow Tuesday afternoon in one corner of the world for radical Islam. These sorts of attacks that take more casualties out, far more people were killed in the Paris attacks the other day than have been killed in all the abortion clinic violence in American history. Far more. Mm-hmm. Dozens, hundreds more. And so we need to at least keep this in perspective. Yes, there are people who sometimes claim Christianity who do things that are abhorrent, but the problem with radical Islamic terrorism is that it is at least in principle supported by over 400 million Muslims worldwide. Even if they don't participate in it, they support it in word, and that's according to the Pew Research poll taken a few years ago of Muslim opinions. This is not some isolated 0.1% thing, as President Obama wants to portray it as, and if we don't take it seriously, and if we don't recognize that there is a religious ideological problem here that doesn't affect all of Islam, but it does affect a sizable minority of Islam, if we're not ready to recognize that, then we'll never be able to counter it, and we'll never be able to be secure.
All right, John Rabe, again, the name of his book is None Dare Call It Islam. Thanks so much for being with us, and Happy New Year to you.
Happy New Year, Jerry. Thanks. It's always a pleasure.
All right. God bless.